especially for the son that you gave to this world, that we might have the hope of being with you someday in heaven. We ask your blessings on those that we mentioned here this day, that you be with them and bring them back to the time of heaven. It be that we. We pray for this nation, Lord, and for the this kind of disease that has come over us. We pray that we would overrun it and that we would once again be a country that we can learn about and do the things that we would love to do. We pray for the leaders of this nation that they will use it. Look to you for the intelligence they need to do this thing. We pray also, Lord, that you will be with us and keep us safe and out of harm's way, and that we will once again become a nation of aid unto you. Go with us now through the rest of this service, through the rest of our lives, and when this world is over, we pray that we will be with you. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 283. 283. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table this day. It carries our minds back to the cross to remember the love that you had for us, and you're sending a son into the world to die upon that cross for our sins. Father, as we partake of this loaf which reminds us of the body that hung on that sin, we're thankful for your son that loved us so much to be beaten and to be carried and put on that cross for us. As we partake of this loaf now, Father, help us to do. We continue our thanks, our Heavenly Father, for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed for us. Again, Father, we pray that we may partake of this in a manner be pleasing to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord's Supper has ended. We now have an opportunity to give back to further the work here at this place and even throughout the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you bless us every day in our lives with the blessings of sustaining us and keeping us. Father, we're grateful for what you do for us. For the income that we have, Father, that we can now share with those that need your help with the gospel and even in physical ways. Father, we're so grateful that you blessed us that we can do this. Mm-hmm. Help us now to give back, Father, a portion of that to further that cause and to glorify your name. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Present this morning. Today is February 7th, 2021 for taking purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our song books at number 687. 687 will be a song of invitation. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 331. 331.
Invitation?
687.
687.
Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. All thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh, breathe thy love.
pure, unspotted may we be. Let us see our whole salvation perfectly secured by thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
As you know, we began last Sunday night having 7 or 8 weeks of time where we do each one of our sermon times, the PowerPoint presentations. And in reference to this matter we have this morning, you are not the judge. There are things that people say that are said that people accept and understand the ideas of just being the ways of man. Such as a thing like this, good people of all churches are saying. You hear that said. Number two, one church is as good as another. And of course, we in the body of Christ find ourselves simplifying the idea that we need to be obedient to the Lord's way and the Lord's will and in His church. Baptism is unnecessary, some people say, and they point that out very vividly. And in regard to baptism, the type of baptism, not a burial, as the Bible describes and explains and shows us. They went down into the water, and when the eunuch was baptized, he came up out of the water and went on his way rejoicing. Well, the idea of sprinkling is okay and acceptable in the sight of man. I feel that I'm saved, is certain big point on number five. They feel that they've been saved, they hope they've been saved, everything's worked out fine. The Lord's Supper is annually observed by some, or certainly not on each Lord's Day, to be observed as our Lord set forth the idea that He would be with us as we partook of the Lord's Supper. And in regard to this particular matter, we find that people say often that if you're ever saved from sin, you never can fall. You cannot fall. You know that you've heard that to be said and be noted, but since man is not the judge, in John 12, verse 48, Jesus said, if you reject me and receive not my word, you have one that judges you. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. The idea is that the word of God is that standard that will judge us in the last day. And as a result of that, we find ourselves being people who are not the judge. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, in answer to those who say, good people of all churches are saved, Jesus there plainly noted in Matthew 7, beginning verse 21, that not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does what? The will of my Father who is in heaven. The idea of being a person who follows the Lord's way that He taught while He was here upon this earth is the way that we ought to go, because He taught the will of the Heavenly Father. And the will of the Heavenly Father, he says in verse 49, in reference to that matter, is a will that is for good and for godliness. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience for the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. We need to be obedient to the Lord's way and not go with the idea that just good people, there are good people around. There are good people in all church groups and all kind of religious people in churches where they serve and they do a part of it. But the idea of God's word is that the judge is the Lord, and the judge uses his book, the word of God. In Acts 2, verse 47, it tells us that on the day of Pentecost, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. These people had come to obey the Lord. They wanted to be forgiven of their sins of crucifying the Christ. And what were they told to do? To repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. In Acts 2, verse 38. Now, this is what they did, and once they did this, the Lord added the daily to the church, those that were being saved. Ephesians 5, verse 23 tells us regarding this body of Christ and how important that body is to the Lord and how we're to be obedient to the Lord, and He is the Savior of that body, which is His church. He's the Savior of us, and the Lord is the only Savior of us. How can we tell people that they're saved from sin when, in fact, the Lord is the one who tells us all that we've obeyed Him and that we've been part of being obedient to His way, and thus we are saved as a result of obeying Him? Number two, in reference to this matter, Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus says to Simon Peter, who says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Simon was one who was impetuous in his ways, but in this particular time, he was thoughtful in his ways. For Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonah, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven did reveal this to you. And I say unto you, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or death, will not prevail against it." Even my death will not stop the church from coming about. This is going to happen, Jesus there promised. It's built upon Jesus' blood. And in Acts 20, verse 28, in the shedding of His blood, He purchased the church with His blood. As He shed His blood, He purchased the church. What did He do? He shed His blood that we might be baptized into Christ, Romans 6, and raised to walk in newness of life, He says. And in regard to this matter, this is the way of life that He wants us to live within His body, the church. In reference to the church in Ephesians 1 and verses 22 and 23, it has reference to this body, which is the church, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So we are the fullness of Christ's work, and the idea of going forth in the world to teach others the gospel is the idea that we're to do. We're to go forth and talk with others, visit with others, raise questions of others. Have they considered this verse in reference to the particular topic underway? And instead of saying, "I don't believe that a bit, I don't accept that a bit, and I don't see how anybody could be sane and not accept this," instead of offending people and going at it from a standpoint of roughhousing people as to where they believe and what to do, raise a question mark to them. Have you considered what the Lord said? You consider what Paul said about the church. It is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Jesus fills us all, and it is the case that He is the head of His body, which is the church. And so that's the way of the Lord's way. When we find ourselves going by the idea of one church is as good as another, we have to line it up with the idea that Jesus said, "I will build my church." And He said, "Upon this rock." That word used for rock there in Matthew 16, 18 is in reference to the bedrock, the rock of the confession that Simon Peter just made. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I will build my church." It was not upon the stone which represents the name of Simon Peter. Simon had that reference to his name of him being a stone, a small stone. But the bedrock upon which Jesus was building His church was the foundation of the church. The truth, the living God, He is the Son of God. So He built this church upon that idea in mind that He is a part of the body of Christ. Describing baptism is an easy matter in Romans 6. In reference to this matter, they were wanting to continue in sin that grace may abound, they said. And then Paul said, "How shall we continue in sin that grace may abound when we've died to sin? Should we live any longer therein?" No, we should not be living in sin. We should be people who recognize when we were buried with Him by baptism into His death, we were raised to walk a newness of life, a new way of life, not a sinful way of life, but a new way of life, He said. So as a result, what is the purpose of baptism? It is there to save us. And Peter says in 1 Peter 3:21, the very thing. He says, "This is the very thing that does now save us." It is not the putting away the filth of the flesh. It's not to take a bath. It's not to be outwardly done and outwardly for the benefit of the flesh and the body. It is to be inwardly done so that the blood of Christ, applied to the soul of that individual obedient to the Lord, is baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. As he said in Romans, he tells them that they're now saved from their sins because of the way that they've been baptized into the death of Christ. So we find ourselves in hope that that is the way of God and the way of righteousness for the Lord. When we say that I feel that I'm saved, we raise a question in regard to that particular matter out of Proverbs 14 and at verse 12. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. He said this a second time in Proverbs 16 at verse 25. Now back in grade school, when you had a teacher there in elementary school, or even for that fact, when you had a teacher in high school that twice wrote something on the board. Maybe they underlined it twice as they wrote it on the board. What did you think about that particular thing that was just said that this teacher wrote on the board and underlined a couple of times? That it's important. It's really important. It's liable to show up on the very next test, and indeed it did. It's liable to show up on the final, and it really did, because that emphasis was being given to that particular point that she made, or he made. And when he says there in Proverbs 14, 12, there's a way that seems right unto a man. A man may be the judge of those particular things and by way of his life, but don't take God's law into your own hands, is the statement made at the bottom of this chart. It is the idea of making this way my way and my will. Instead of the Lord's will, let's follow his way and follow his will in our daily walk of life. Paul says in Acts 23:1 that he did these things that he did to the servants of the Lord in unbelief. And he did these things according to his will. And he received the mercy of the Lord and the forgiveness of the Lord. What did Paul do? Well, there in Romans 6 he says, we were baptized into Christ. We were raised to walk in newness of life. He includes himself with the brethren at Rome as they were baptized into Christ. He also was baptized into Christ at an earlier time. Now then, he could walk in newness of life. That's why during this time of year, we prepare the baptistry two times a week. On Tuesdays and Wednesdays, the baptistry is always warm. The building is warm and available for someone who calls or come by to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We encourage that to be done. And there are those who promise us that they're coming to do that, but they really have not yet come to do that. We do the same thing in regard to Saturday and Sunday. The water is warm now. The building is warm now. It's prepared for anyone this afternoon who comes and says, I want to obey the gospel. I want to be baptized into Christ. We don't try to add to the burden of the body in regard to a chill that comes over people when they're in water and come out of the water. But they're warm and they're okay. But they can be obedient to the Lord in that being immersed into Christ. Where does it say to us in the scripture that we've got to be baptized in hot water or cold water? Or what kind of water? Lukewarm water. It doesn't tell us that. But we want to be in our time a perfect people of faith who believe in that, and we encourage folks to come, and we've been thinking of them and praying for them and hoping for them, and all that we talk to about this matter. They need to come and deal with the gospel. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. It can be done. That's why we do that. We prepare for them as they go along. Now, as we talk about this, we're talking about a way of worship. We talk about the way of worship. We talk about the Lord's Supper. And when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26, 26 through 29, he talked about this bread being his body that's broken for us. This fruit of the vine being his blood shed for us. We know that that blood shed for us means a cleansing of our sins. And we can live anew in the service of the Lord as a result of that. Why not do that today? Why not be a person who puts that into practice as we go through life? Can we ever fall away from the Lord? In Galatians 5 and verse 4, he tells them that if you go back to the ways of the old law and you attempt to be justified by the works of the law, you have fallen from grace.
Galatians 5, verse 4. We find ourselves being taught by the favor of the Lord, by the favor of His Word, and the direction of His Word is of such nature that we need to be obedient to Him. But if we go back to the works of that old law, Jewish people, we talked about that old law, they knew the animal sacrifices were to be involved, and the way of the incense burning was to be involved, and their way of sin being revived in their lives once again to only go away from them was not true. When you attempt to be justified by the works of the law, you have fallen from grace. You've fallen from the benefits of grace and the wonderful blessings associated with grace in the hereafter. We find ourselves doing that. In the writing of James, in James 5, verse 19 and 20, he says regarding those that are in error, that they're their brethren who assist those who are in error to come away from it. And as they come away from it, they are blessed. They are blessed to be people obedient to the Lord and His way. But if they find themselves in that way continuously and devoted to that way of life, then what happens to them? They're people who have fallen away from the ways of the Lord. When we find ourselves judged by man, we often can say those kind of things that are noted on the left, that often could be pointed out. But when we find ourselves obeying the word of the Lord, as described there in John 8, 48, when Jesus said, if you refuse me and receive not my word, you have one that judges you. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. Jesus said the standard of what I've said to you will judge you in the last day. So this message is a message for us to follow. Do not follow God's way in your way of will and your ideas of life. Follow God in His way of teaching and in His way. The preacher informs people of the gospel of Christ, or he can inform the people in regard to what man thinks. And as these popular ways of life go forth, there are preachers who can inform them of the way of life that they have been taught. But instead, this preacher is one who teaches you about the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is the way that we should follow. This is the way of the Lord's word for our lives. As this song is given to us today to think about the ways of the Lord and the ways of righteousness in our lives, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, be a person who makes your way to the front and lets it be known that you need to confess your faith in Christ as the people did in the New Testament of the Bible, repenting of sin, turning away from sin and sinful ways of life, and be baptized into Christ, where you are found to be raised to walk a new way of life. And do it now as we stand together and as we sing together this song of invitation.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for He loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for He bled for you and I. He's the same love.
February, can you believe? But we're also at the seventh day. So it speeds along. And the month of March is also on the 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th, just like it is this month. It'll be that way before we end it. So God bless you and look forward to seeing you at each of the services. Remember, Sunday morning, Sunday night, for the next 6 weeks of time, beyond this, we'll be looking at the PowerPoint presentations of the old chart. Brother J.A. Thornton preached this many a time of life, and he had a way of doing it in which he pointed out some of the things I pointed out today. We need to follow the Lord's word, his way, and not our own. God bless you, everyone, as you reflect upon this today.
Let's turn to number 365, and after one verse, Brother Robert will lead us in a word of prayer. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart,
draw me, my
Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh, fold me, close to thy breast.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your holy word, for your guidance of your will in the life toward all of us. Thank you for these who are brethren of the Lord in this place today, who find themselves reflecting upon the reason and purpose by which they chose to obey thee in days gone by, and now rejoice in the blessings that you have provided for us and the way of life that you have led us to believe that hereafter we shall be blessed eternally. Bless us in every way for good. Help us to be people who love your body and love your way of life, that we may encourage that way of life to every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.